Wesley attracted a lot of attention because he would not be conformed to the world he lived in. He kept a journal, and in it he records one day riding into a village where he saw a man beating his wife with a stick. At the time, that was perfectly legal for a man to beat his wife with a stick, as long as the stick was no thicker than his little finger. That was fine with the church too. That wasn't a problem, because of course we all know wives should submit to their husbands, and if they didn't, then it was okay for their husbands to help them submit by beating them with a stick. Not so much preaching in those days on the verse that comes before, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for them. So Wesley attracted a lot of attention because he would not be conformed to the world he lived in. This is part of our reading that Paul said. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is Paul giving a very practical way of not being conformed to this world, because that is not this world's way of thinking, is it? To love our enemies, to not look for revenge. It's completely the opposite, in fact. Here are some films that were popular in their day, or more recently. They all have a similar theme. There are one or more baddies, and someone sets out to get revenge for what has been done. And they're very popular films because we all like the idea that those who do evil get what's coming to them. And we all know at the start of the film what's going to happen. The only question is just how horrible and nasty the death of the baddies can be. But they're very popular films because that's the way the world thinks. But Paul says that's not how we should think. We should not be conformed to this world. So here's another one. Anyone know who this man is? You'd be very surprised if anyone does. This is a really unusual photo of this particular man, because if you look him up on the internet, most of the photos of him that exist in the public domain are of him until he was in his 80s. He was a man who is credited with a huge influence on what's known as the Japanese post-war economic miracle, even though he himself was not Japanese. He wrote a book in the 1980s called Out of the Crisis. 25 years after that, someone wrote of the book that was written by Dr. W. Edwards Deming. He said this, Deming's profound insights stand the test of time. To understand Deming is to grasp how society and the economy can work smarter, not just in the name of efficiency, but in the cause of humanity. And the quote underneath comes from a well-known website that sells books. And one of the people who bought this book said it was a surprisingly subversive book. And you'd think, what could be so subversive about a book on management? Well, Dr. Edwards Deming was not a man who would be conformed to the world. He had what were known as his 14 management principles, and here's just a few examples of what he said. Eliminate slogans, exhortations, and targets for the workforce asking for zero defects and new levels of productivity. Such exhortations only create adversarial relationships, as the bulk of the causes of low quality and low productivity belong to the system, and thus lie beyond the power of the workforce. Eliminate work standards, quotas on the factory floor, substitute leadership. Eliminate management by objective, eliminate management by numbers, numerical goals, substitute leadership. One of his quotes was, "In God we trust, all others must bring data." In spite of what he said about numbers, he was actually a statistician. His management principles came from detailed analysis, not of the workforce, but of the systems that they worked in. He was a man not conformed to this world. Here's another example of what Paul said. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Again, practical examples that Paul gives of how not to be conformed to this world. The problem is, of course, is that that's actually quite difficult to do. Not to be conformed to this world. It requires a bit of thinking outside of the box. Not to be conformed to this world means that we have to go against the tide. We have to go against the stream. Of course, what I could just say to you is try harder. But as Dr. Deming says, just exhorting you to try harder isn't actually going to make any difference. We can't do it in our own strength. We cannot change ourselves, and we cannot change the world in which we live. Not on our own. We can only do it with God's help. And first of all, we need the Spirit of God. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. God's Spirit can change us. Strangely enough, Pete, just as he was praying for me, quoted from Hebrews 4 about the Word of God being living and active. The Word of God in us will help to change us. We need to get the Word of God into our lives so that it too helps to change us. And we need to pray. We need to pray for the world, that God would change the way of the world, the systems of the world, that they might be conformed to His will. But we also need to pray for ourselves, for strength to confront the systems that are not part of God's will. So it's been a bit of a week of chaos in the world of politics. And it's worth remembering, perhaps, that the world of politics is a human construct. It's not something that comes from God. Similarly, economics and what we take for granted is not necessarily from God. They are part of the world that Paul says we should not be conformed to. We also need fellowship because we need the support of each other. The writer to the Hebrews said, let's consider, let's think about how we can stir one another on to love and good deeds. and encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day of Jesus' return drawing near. We need all of these things if we are not going to be conformed to this world. Or as J.B. Phillips famously translated those words, that we not be squeezed into this world's mold. It's very easy for us to do that without thinking. But Paul calls us to something else, to give our lives as living sacrifices, to not be conformed to the world, but to give our lives to Jesus because of what he has done for us in recognition of his sacrifice for us. So let's pray, and let's begin by praying for ourselves. Father, we pray for ourselves this morning. We ask that you would help us not to be conformed to this world. Lord, we pray that each and every day you would fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to live in a way that is in accordance with your kingdom and not in accordance with man-made structures and systems. Lord, we ask that you would help us to get your word into our lives, that you would change us through the power of your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be diligent in prayer. Lord, that you might change the world through us, so that your kingdom would come, your will might be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, that we might be an encouragement to each other. Lord, that you would help us to consider how to build each other up and to stir each other up to love and good deeds, to live in the way that Paul sets out in our reading this morning, that we might be different, Lord. Because we love Jesus and follow him, we ask that you would make us like him, Lord. We pray that you would do that, that we would be able to love our enemies and bless them. We ask, Lord, that we might be able to serve those around us with your love, that we would be willing to associate with people, Lord, who might be socially unattractive. Lord, we ask that you would help to change us and to make us like Jesus. And Lord, we pray especially this week, in a week of what seems to be political chaos. Lord, we pray for our leaders. Lord, we ask that they too would be willing to look to you, Lord, for answers. Not to look to the world for answers, but to look to you for leading and direction. We pray, Lord, that they would have your heart for people. We pray that they would make the choices that you would make if you were there, Lord, in their positions. Father, we pray that those who are in positions of leadership might find you. And for those who know you, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them, that you would strengthen their voice to speak for your ways and for your kingdoms, when it's not the way of the world, when it's not necessarily what people want to hear. Father, we pray for them that you would give them a voice and that it might be heard. Lord, we pray that this week we might be your lights in the places that you place us. Lord, we pray that you would give us the words to speak when opportunities come. And we pray, Lord, that we might be a blessing to everyone that we meet. Because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.